This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana, not originating from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge today. Robin Dow is there to take your calls, though, at 877-217-5757. Signature support from the mayor's office of East Baton Rouge Parish. We are at the downtown Marriott, Canal Street, New Orleans, second largest hotel in the city, and we are here for the Louisiana Farm Bureau Convention, the 102nd annual convention. They meet here every year, and almost all of the Louisiana politicos are here at one point or another. And we start with the number two person in state government, His Honor William Harold Nungesser, the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser, now elected three times as the second person in government, and there is much to talk about. But I know that you have an affiliation with this city. You've lived everywhere in Louisiana, it seems, but this place, with all of its flaws, when you come to New Orleans, you can feel the pulse, can't you?
Absolutely. I grew up right across the river from here in Algiers, and a lot of great memories here in the city.
I bet your dad loved this town.
He did. He had a love and passion for doing all he could to make it the best it could be, and you know, I'll be attending Joe Yeager's funeral from here, a hotel owner who had that love and passion to make the city the best it could be, too. And he will sorely be missed for his love for this city.
Well, if you could do one thing right now to address the much-talked-about issues in our city, the city where we're talking right now, and city of my birth, I think your birth, too.
Yep.
What would it be?
Well, I think the governor's doing it. And I got to tell you, I had the aerospace conference in town this week, and I was a little nervous. But we walked from the Monolith Hotel to the Cabildo and then walked back that night, and I actually felt safe in the quarter. And I didn't think there'd be another day of my life I would say that. But the efforts by the state police, the technology, the things, they have hit the ground running, and I can see it in the quarter already, and they've been there such a short while. So applause to the governor for putting that NOLA troop down there. They're housing in our museum. But just incredible. And they have a love and passion to really make a difference, and they're doing it. And it made me so proud to see just the difference taking place in the quarter already.
Well, what about the aerospace conference? I understand you're...
I'm the president.
You're running the show.
Yeah, I tell you. Wow, I was blown away. We need a spaceport in Louisiana. We have got to embrace our community colleges. Nunez does an incredible job with the space program. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to work at NASA. And if we embrace training more people, we can attract the same private space companies that Alabama, Mississippi, Colorado, Texas has. And it is the future. We're here at the Ag Convention, what they're doing for ag with seeds in space. And you'll see a day when, instead of a donor, they'll take your tissue and go to space and make you a new heart. Incredible, talented people at this conference. It blew me away of what's coming in the space industry, and Louisiana needs to get on the forefront.
877-217-5757. We've got a lot of guests today, so our time today will be a bit briefer with the Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser, but you can send something if you wish to talk at talklouisiana.org as well. And a listener already knowing about your involvement with Poverty Point, and I know for people who are geologists and anthropologists, this is like the hot spot of Louisiana. People in South Louisiana may not know as much as those north of here, but it is a place, it was like the most prominent place in our hemisphere many years ago, like 3,000 years ago, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Jay Darden, credit goes to him for working for years to get it to be a World Heritage Site. And we've struggled to get people up there. You know, it's those mounds are 34,000 years old. But we needed a wow factor. Now you can put on Google glasses and actually see how they built those mounds 34,000 years ago. Hopefully we'll get more people up there. We also signed a deal with Viking Cruise Line. They're bringing three cruise boats a month to there, busing them. So the more people go, the more people will talk about it. We've got a new conference center there. So we're excited about the future of Poverty Point and really bringing the worldwide attention to that great site in Louisiana. And as I said, Jay Darden worked very hard to get that in the World Heritage field and did a great job at getting that done for us.
Now, Mike Strain will be with us a bit later, the Agriculture Commissioner, and Billy Nungesser and Mike Strain go back a long way, don't you?
Mike Strain's daddy and uncle rode out, helped rescue cattle, lived with me for 9 months after Katrina. We had cattle together. They taught me the cattle business, and Mike gave his first speech. I had a riding center for special needs children, and under that arena, he got on the back of a pickup truck. We cooked steaks for about 40 cattlemen, and he got on that back of that pickup truck and gave his first speech. And God, he's going a long way and done an incredible job for the ag industry here in Louisiana, and just so proud to call him a friend.
All right, again, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Those ways to reach us work throughout the show, any day of the year that we're on the air, and we're in New Orleans at the 102nd Annual Farm Bureau Convention. The only time missed, I believe, was during COVID after all these years and all these farmers, and there are 20,000 farms in Louisiana. They meet right here in New Orleans, and that's an interesting meeting of the minds, shall we say. Here's a good question, and I just saw Commissioner Strain walk by. He was elected first in 2007. It's a legitimate question. It's Carmen in New Orleans who says, why don't we have unlimited terms for the governor?
It's a good question. I guess because our I'm just giving a thought here. Our governor is one of the most powerful governors in the country. And I guess after 8 years, they figure with the power that it brings, if you had the wrong guy, could you get him out of there? I don't know if that's the reason, but there is 2-term limits for the governor, and I think it's that way in most every state.
And in Louisiana, the governor can sit out a term and run again. Now, you can't do that as president. You only get two. That's why Obama can't run. That's why Bush and Clinton can't run again. But as governor, you can sit out a term, and Edwin Edwards served 4 terms, but they weren't together. The first, 1972 to 1980, and then 1984 to 88, and then 1992 to 96. So I think that's a fair way of doing it. And you're right. We give our governors unlimited power. And that brings us to another question from a listener, in that Governor Landry, and I don't think this is a surprise, he believes in a strong executive branch, shall we say. Some believe he's reaching too far, though.
You know, I made a commitment, as I always do, to work very closely with the governor. I give him my honest thoughts behind closed doors, and I'm going to support the governor in his efforts. A lot of people are saying that. I applaud a lot of what he's doing, and where I disagree with him, I tell him in private, but he's doing a lot of good for the state, and surely I'm very excited about what's happening with the French Quarter because of his efforts, and that took a big move to put a whole troop down here, and it's making a difference.
Well, I think he's getting, on that front, praise from people you might not expect. Now, a listener also asked about, and it's in reference to last night's debate with a 78-year-old challenger against an 81-year-old incumbent running for president. In Louisiana, do we have laws either limiting the age of the governor or making it a requirement to be a certain age? I just looked it up. It's 25 to be governor, 35 to be president. But should we, seriously, should we look at having a cap on the opposite end?
Based on what I saw last night, it would be a good argument. You know, as we're living longer and being healthier longer, I don't know what that age limit should be or whether you should have to be competent. I that is going to be debated, I'm sure, long in after this presidential election. But it was obvious last night that the current president is struggling because of his age.
Optics mean a lot in these debates. Sometimes they mean a lot more than whether you score any points and what the discussion is about. It's how you look and how you sound. And Joe Biden, I think he would acknowledge he's had better days. I don't think he's got dementia. I think it's unfair. But he's an old man. And as you know, some people at 81 are more spry than others, and it seems he has lost a step. We're going to talk more with Mark Ballard in a moment, and I'll go ahead and ask the question that about five listeners have already asked me online. And, of course, you're a Republican, but if you were advising, and your dad was one of the great political strategists of all time, if you were advising Biden, would you say it's time to go, Joe?
I would, and I said 6 months ago from the Lieutenant Governor's Conference and the talk at that conference 6 months ago that I believe the governor of California at the convention, I predicted Joe Biden would step back and he would be the nominee, and I'm going to stay with that projection because the governor of California going on Fox TV supporting some things that he needs to be to win as a president that you've seen him do. So I'm still going to stick with that prediction.
Well, thank you, Billy Nungesser. Good to visit with you as always. And we're back with Mark Ballard after this timeout on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And thanks to our listeners in New Orleans who have cherished WWNO for more than a half century, 89.9 on the dial. Today we're joined by the great audience in New Orleans and surrounding area, also with our audience in Baton Rouge at WRKF, which started its programming in 1980. That was the year that Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter. And for those who were not old enough, maybe not even alive in 1980, a week before that election, Jimmy Carter was actually ahead in the last Gallup poll. And then they had a debate, and Carter did very poorly, and he lost 44 states. And now we have a debate last night in which Joe Biden, the incumbent, did very poorly. And there is an open revolt within the Democratic ranks about whether he should stay as the nominee. And every headline reflects that today, and it is not pleasant for Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. today in the Picayune and Advocate, halting Biden struggles to confront Trump's falsehoods. We can go on and on and on, but every headline is inflammatory, and if you only read a headline, you get the picture that it was not a good night for the President of the United States, who's the oldest man to ever hold that position. With us to talk about this and perhaps a bit more is Mark Ballard, who covers the Beltway. He's not so far from the White House. Last night's debate was in Atlanta, by the way. But 877-217-5757 is your number. And good morning to you, Mr. Ballard.
Good morning. Yeah, that was quite a debate last night.
Well, here's CNBC. Top Democratic fundraisers sound the alarm after Biden's debate performance. Politico, Dems freak out over Biden's debate performance. Biden is toast. I could go on and on and on. The New York Times, The Hill, Dems panic in panic mode after Biden's debate performance. Is there any chance for a man who has logged a life in politics, who was elected to the Senate before his 30th birthday, to just step aside and say no mas? Is that a real prospect, or is that just a dream for those who believe he's in deep trouble?
Well, I think that it is possible at this point for him to do it, but it will be very difficult, and it would be whoever picks up the standard at this point would have a very tough row to hoe against former President Trump. But it is theoretically possible, however.
Well, Donald Trump has also got some issues, and he's the first convicted felon to hold the highest office in the world. But last night he looked more vigorous, and he did not lose his train of thought as much as Biden. He did utter a lot of mistruths, but Biden, who had the chance to rebut them, didn't really do a good job of it. And we were left with the impression, I think one person in a focus group that I saw said of Trump, said hell no, and said of Biden, oh no. So that's the choice. One of them, unless something changes, is going to end up being the President of the United States for the next 4 years. 877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard. James and Harvey. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, James.
Good morning. I'm try to be quick, but I got a lot of names here. I'm going to throw out some names, and then I'm going to make a comment. Elwin Edwards, Latoya Cantrell, Ray Nagin, Congressman Jefferson, Judge Green.
All right, what's your point? Jack's what's point? The question? I know what the names are, but I know they've had lots of problems, and they're all from one party, but what's is there anything beyond that, James?
We can go to other party, too. Joe Yenny, Leander Perez. The point is, it doesn't matter, in my opinion. The electorate loves who they love. I was a lover of Elwin Edwards, and I was always making excuses for him. The point is, how to put the question, is character more important or is age and competency more important? Because Ronald Reagan, toward the end of his last whatever, wasn't that great of a person either. And
all right, we get the picture, and I think you're right about Ronald Reagan, who flubbed a debate against Walter Mondale and still won 49 states. But there has been all this scuttlebutt about Biden, I think unfairly, that he's not all there. He's all there. He's just slow, and he loses his train of thought, as people much younger do, but he loses it more frequently than others. And he had the stage in which he could have made hay in the sunshine, because Donald Trump was uttering things that were not truthful, whether willingly or unwittingly or unwittingly. But at any rate, he didn't seize the opportunity, and it was his chance to command the stage. And now, unlike those other people we're talking about, there is an open revolt within his own party, within the Democratic ranks. They fear that Trump is going to win this election unless somebody else gets in and presents a better alternative. And Mark, I've never seen the likes of this. I don't know if it'll be for a few days or a few weeks, but they're definitely trying to get Joe Biden out of the race. And we're talking about people like James Carville, and you can go down the list. These are the who's who of the Democratic Party.
Well, to note on Carville is that he never wanted to see Biden in the race in the first place. What we tend to forget is that Biden has done quite a bit legislatively, despite his age and what we saw last night. I mean, some of the bills that he's passed, the programs for rebuilding America's infrastructure is remarkable that he was able to get it through such a divided Congress. So, I mean, there's that portion of it, but the main thing that they have been hitting, his opponents have been hitting him with, both in the Democratic and the Republican parties, is that his age, that he would be too old. And she sure did not put any of that to rest last night. And so that kind of leads open, well, who can take his place that's younger?
Well, the vice president is a possibility. The governor of California is probably the other possibility. But I think you can make a case that he has been a substantial president, but that doesn't often or doesn't always make the difference. And it is a case in which right now optics are not favoring him. He is an older-looking man. He looks much older than Trump, even though he's not but 3.5 years older. And last night he had a vocal issue on top of that, Mark.
Well, yeah, that husky voice didn't help. He tended to go into mumbling and occasionally lost his train of thought. And so, no, that did not help him at all, and certainly was not what we saw when he delivered the State of the Union address earlier this year. So.
Nope. Ann in Jefferson Terrace, or Jefferson Highway. Ann on Jefferson Highway, good morning. You're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Ann. Okay, Robin, I don't think we're getting Ann through, so you want to try another one? Okay, we got some other people. Let's try Jason in Baton Rouge. Jason, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, guys. I watched the entire debate, and I was disappointed. It won't change that I'm going to vote for Biden. But what was disappointing, besides the lies, that Trump, you know, we know the lies, but if there's never an opportunity for him as a person who's been told to us he can read the room to make a concession and reach out for voters like me who would listen if he would just do it. And it's never going to happen, and that's what's disappointing, that there's never an attempt to bring in more voters. It's just stick to the points, hammer them home. And it just is so frustrating that he...
Well, Jason, you would be a classic swing voter if you were in a swing state, if you were in Georgia or North Carolina or Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, but you're not. You're in Louisiana. And right now, Donald Trump, if he's breathing, will carry Louisiana. And last night, he was more forceful in his presentation than was Joe Biden. And it did not look good optically, and debates are often about that. We are in a TV world. We'll talk more with Mark Ballard about where we go from here with the election 130 days away. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Friday Politics on WWNO and WRKF, 877-217-5757. Today, originating from the heart of New Orleans, 555 Canal Street, second largest hotel in the city, the Marriott that's been here since 1973. Let's go to the phone lines, but we do need you to be concise. We've got a lot of people waiting to talk with Mark Ballard, and we have him only here for about another 7-8 minutes. So, Ann, I think we have you now. Ann, on Jefferson Highway. Okay. Ann, good morning.
Good morning. I think one reason that former President Trump could appear so relaxed and confident is that he doesn't really have anything substantial to say. He just hits his base point. And he doesn't answer the hard questions. He didn't answer the climate.
Okay, well, let's get Mark's take on that. Thank you, Ann. Mark, some would say that's a simplistic way to view it, but Trump knows how television and radio work, and sound bites often win the day.
And he certainly does, and he certainly did last night. I mean, and she's right, a lot of what he said was just, you know, factually incorrect. But he said it with such authority that it apparently a lot of people would agree with it. And he also did not answer major questions such as would he accept the election. He ducked and dived on that. On handling the January 6th insurrectionists, he was didn't really directly answer that question either, and which should raise some questions among some voters. But he did understand how he had to look and how he had to make his presentation, and he did a very good job at that.
Joan in Baton Rouge. Joan, you're on the air with Mark. Good morning.
Hi.
Joan.
One thing that I was wondering about is whether Biden was over-rehearsed or they put too much information into his head during his practicing, and that may have overwhelmed him at one point during the debate at the beginning.
Mark,
well, that seems to the way I read it. I kept thinking that he was trying to search for his rehearsed answers and couldn't find them, and that kind of led it. But, you know, I don't know, right? That's good.
Right.
But it did seem that way.
Bennett on Jefferson Highway. Bennett, you're on the air with Mark.
Hey, at one point, I mean, actually, it was a poor performance by Biden all night. It really was. And Trump did spout a lot of lies. But at one point when they were talking about Roe v. Wade, Biden just all of a sudden said when he would turn it back, that he would fix it. And I'm wondering, and he said he would do that if he's elected. I'm wondering if he has the ability to, why wouldn't he do that now? Why?
Well, you can't. You can't do that without a legislative action, and then ultimately it would be challenged at the Supreme Court. But Trump, who is responsible for Roe v. Wade being overturned, Mark, he said he's all for medication abortions, which are now two-thirds of the abortions, which means that his stance right now is not that far from Joe Biden. Suddenly he's become pro-choice again.
Well, at least on the medications, and let's remember that the Supreme Court upheld the use of those medications, at least for the time being. And so I mean, he was not that far off of what his Supreme Court said. But basically what he was arguing was that the states should decide this, that it was a state sovereignty issue and not a federal issue. And that seems to be what was separating two men on the stage last night. But Biden didn't really articulate that well. He did, point out that he would bring back Roe v. Wade, which, despite all of the, you know, kill babies after they've been born business that Trump was bringing up, does not say that at all. It just says that that women across the country have the right to make that choice in the first two trimesters.
Chris in Opelousas. Chris, you're on with Mark Ballard of The Advocate and Picayune. Hi, Chris.
Hey, that wasn't a debate. That was an infomercial for AIPAC and World War III. It's a big glowing neon sign saying that both of them are puppets, that it just means we'll have Juan Guaido.
All right. Mark, I think a lot of people upset with the format. They didn't like anything about that debate. And let's face it, both candidates left a lot to be desired, but Biden's optics, that's what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, and actually I liked the debate a lot better because they actually talked to one another. They debated with one another, whereas oftentimes when you have the audience involved, that they're playing to the audience applauds, it slows it down, and it keeps them off of talking about issues and going more for the winning talking points. So, I mean, I kind of like the way that it was set up. I kind of wish that the moderators would have challenged not just some of the misstatements that Trump made, but also some of the misstatements that that Biden made as well.
All right, Steve in Baton Rouge. Steve, you're on the air with Mark Ballard. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mark. Look, I listened to part of the debate, and I think Joe Biden was over-rehearsed, and he tried to follow his script. He wasn't himself. And I think the next time they debate, he will come out firing. Also, his son just got convicted.
All right. Well, there may not be a next time. There is a debate that's on the calendar for, I think, September 10th, but there are those who are saying, look, to Trump, right now, I would suspect the polls will reflect this. He may be ahead by so much that he feels like he's got nothing to gain by doing this again. And who's to say Biden will do better? Biden can't turn back the clock either. He's just going to be another few months to 82 when the next debate is held. So, Mark, I'm not sure we're going to have a round two.
Well, yeah, you make a good point. You make a good point. And let's remember back in 2020. My dates are getting off. That Biden won the first debate with Trump, and which, you know, had like 75-80% of the nation watching. And then the second debate had a lot fewer people watching, and which Trump kind of rebounded a little bit. That if they do have a second debate and Biden rebounds, not as many people will be watching. The first impressions that a lot of voters made last night are going to remain the same, you know, through November, despite what happens in the second debate, if there is going to be one.
877-217-5757. We'll take another call. But please be brief. Patrick in Baton Rouge, you're on with Mark. Good morning. Yes, good morning, Patrick. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Okay, everybody keeps saying that Trump spoke a bunch of lies and mistruths last night. That's not true. He spoke on point. The only thing I find, they said that Biden encouraged Ukraine.
All right, well, Trump spoke a number of outright falsehoods, but that's what he does. And in fairness to him, there are other politicians who at least fudge and sometimes mislead the American people and sometimes just outright lie. But for Trump to blame Nancy Pelosi for 1/6, for example, it's beyond the pale to make that claim. The person responsible for the January 6th insurrection was Donald Trump. That's just one of many. Mark Ballard, They did get a bit sophomoric at one point when they were arguing about how tall Trump was and who was a better golfer, who could hit the ball farther. That was a bit much for some.
Well, right, and I agreed with Trump when he said, let's stop being childish here, you know. And what that has to do with, of course, I'm not a golfer, so maybe I'm prejudiced here, but what does that have to do with being president?
There you go. Let's get Maddie in Ponchatoula. Maddie, please be concise. You're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Maddie.
Good morning. Do you feel that if Trump does succeed in a second presidency as a convicted felon, do you think that the stigma of felons would carry over?
Well...
The stigma,
I guess, would it change our perception of felons, but Donald Trump is a convicted felon, but he is eligible to run, and potentially he could even serve as president from a jail cell. So I think Trump is an island unto his own when it comes to the rules that everybody else in this world plays by, particularly in the great United States of America. Unfortunately, we can't take all of you, but we will be talking about this as we move forward. Robin says Aaron and Metairie has been waiting the longest, so you'll be our final caller for Mark Ballard today. Aaron, you're on. Good morning.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'd just like to say, you know, Biden lied to, it seems to me that NPR is 100% in the bag for Joe Biden. And it's...
All right. That's a perception that I think is unwarranted. But I think,
and I agree with you.
Yeah, and I will say this though, that people who listen to public radio generally are more educated, and the polls have consistently shown that the more educational attainment you have, the more likely you are to vote for Joe Biden. So it could be much, much more than any kind of presentation. It could be the fact that people who read and follow the news and take it seriously and believe that it's real, not fake, Mark, they might be more inclined to be for the Democrat than the Republican in this race.
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know, though, that the conservatives, for the most part, don't like any of the mainstream media and think that all of the mainstream media is for Biden, which is not the case, but it makes it interesting because it kind of stokes anger and energizes the base, and that's why they keep pushing that, you know, that the mainstream media is against me.
Well, thank you, Mark Ballard. We'll be back with a busy last quarter hour, starting with Commissioner Mike Strain after this timeout on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. And today, Talk Louisiana originates from 555 Canal Street, New Orleans, Louisiana. And we're at the Marriott, and with us, as is our tradition when we have these annual meetings of the Farm Bureau, is Commissioner Mike Strain, now in his fifth term. And since his first race in which he unseated Bob Odom, he is one going away. You didn't even have an opponent last time.
No, I did not. That's the second time in my political career that I did not have an opponent. The first time was in my second term as a legislator, District 74 in the House of Representatives. This is the first time in the history of Louisiana that the statewide ag commission has not had a challenger. It's very humbling, and I'm very, very proud of that. And, you know, the good Lord looks out after us. You know, because immediately after qualifying is when the battle for the town of Maryville began, the great fires that we had, which totally consumed each and every waking hour for the next, you know, 6 weeks as we went into those fires. And so, you know, and what would have happened, actually, I would have not been able to really campaign because we were totally immersed and involved in those massive wildfires across the entire state with the drought. And that began on the 22nd of August. Qualifying ended on the 10th, but that went on for 6 weeks. And, you know, we had, you know, over 800 fires in 6 weeks, and some of them as large as 35,000 acres. And, you know, when you think of fighting fires with a 50-mile fire line, and, you know, we start off with our staff of 150, but we end up with 1,000 firefighters.
All right, well, you've had to deal with wildfires, floods, hurricanes. All of those, of course, affect agriculture. And we had the Lieutenant Governor, your longtime friend, on earlier, and I know the two of you are working on an endeavor.
We are working together, and we've continued to work to promote Louisiana. And the things the legislature is asking us to do is ramp that up. So he and I will be working together specifically on projects on shrimp, but also crabs, oysters, crawfish. But our shrimping industry is really struggling to really, you know, tell people that, you know, you need to buy certified Louisiana Gulf caught shrimp. So we will be working on jointly promoting shrimp and other Louisiana seafood, just as we've done with crawfish, but also new regulatory affairs under the Seafood Research and Promotion Board, the Office of Lieutenant Governor. I will be working with the Lieutenant Governor on sampling and testing imported seafood, and also on labeling, issues. So we'll be working together, and we continually are going to do that. But the whole goal is for people, when they walk into a restaurant or they go to the grocery or they go anywhere, to buy Louisiana seafood. And our shrimping industry, you know, our shrimp, our crabs, our crawfish. And so that's going to be a lot of fun, but it's something that we really need to do.
David in Atlanta. David, please be brief. You are on with Commissioner Strain.
Mr. Commissioner, Trump has bragged that he bailed out the farmers when he was president. The reason the farmers needed
help. All right, well, what's your question, David? We are short on time.
I'd like to state my case, and I'll ask the question. But my question is, Trump has been very detrimental starting a trade war with China to the farmers, and he's proposing more tariffs against China, which will hurt the farmers in Louisiana.
Okay, what about tariffs?
If you look at the reason for the initial trade wars, China, we had an imbalance of trade with China in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and also very unfair trading practices, not only with China, but also with Mexico and Canada and other parts of the world. And when Trump came in, he said, we're going to make it fair. It's going to be even. It's going to be level, because in the long term, that's what we have to do. But also, if you look at what's going on now, currently, we have an imbalance of agricultural trade at over $30 billion a year. We've had that for the last 2 years. For the 50 years before that, we always had a positive balance of trade. So we've got to get our monetary policy correct, because what's happening is that we are exporting less and importing more, and that's hurting our balance of trade. Trade must be fair. The rules of the road have to be fair, and when they're not fair, then you have to stand up and make them so. And yes, you know, initially there is pain initially. That's absolutely correct. But it's about the long-term goal, long-term stability, right, and a level playing field.
Well, I know the current president has upheld the Trump tariffs, and it used to be that Democrats were the party that favored tariffs because it was thought to help the American labor movement, unions, but it also means that consumers have to pay more.
But the other part is, if you look at, for instance, India and rice, India was supporting and paying up to 50% of the cost of the fertilizer for the rice farmers, then dumping the rice on the world markets. So when you have imbalances of trade caused by abnormal or improper types of activities, you got to stand up and deal with those.
Okay. Let's go to, the question about this is, the caller is not there, but the question was about labeling, and I know that's something that I intended to discuss with you when we had you here, and we've got you right now. What about seafood labeling in particular?
So the new labeling law, remember we had the labeling laws of 2019, which are now in effect, that basically says what's on the label has got to be what's in the package. Very specific. The new labeling laws for imported seafood is that on the package cannot be misleading to where you think it is Louisiana Gulf caught, for instance, shrimp. And the one that they cite is one that says Boudreaux shrimp's got a shrimp boat. And, you know, and you look at that label, and then unless you look on the back in a fine print, you won't know that it's a product of Mexico or China, wherever. The new labeling law specifies that if it is in a package that can be deemed deceptive, then they must put on the front of the package in clear labels, and it specifies the font, that it is a product of, like product of China or of Mexico. That is going into effect, and through our Office of Weights and Measures, I will be charged with enforcement of that. And the whole idea is so that the public, basically the public should know what they're buying, should not be ambiguous, should not be confusing, and should not be misleading.
Okay, a guy who identifies himself as a Farm Bureau member from New Roads, John West, says, Mike Strain, Commissioner Strain, convince me it's worth to harvest my food and breed my cattle.
Absolutely. If you look at where we are going, in most commodities, and especially if you look, and I'm sure you read the WASDA report like I do, World Agriculture Supply and Demand, the world is currently consuming more than it's producing. And I repeat that, consuming more than it's producing, especially when you look at rice and wheat and cotton and other things. And so in the long term, once we get our monetary policy straight, that's what's hurting us, our monetary policy, I can tell you that the value of commodities will continue to rise. The beef cattle, those values are going to stay there and continue to rise because we have lost about 10 to 12% of our beef cattle herd in the United States over the past, really, 10 years. And so when you look where we're at forward, the world is growing in need and consumption, and there will be a growing demand for the products that we have. We're also working on our export capacities. So, you know, I think we have a strong future, but we got to make sure we get a farm bill through and that we are able to continue to produce efficiently. But I think we're going to have strong markets moving forward.
Thank you, Mike Strain. Good to visit with you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you. Glad you're here at the Farm Bureau.
Tireless worker for the state of Louisiana. I just want to get Avery in for about a minute. Avery Davidson, the communications director for the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation for the last 7 years. And Avery, you're in your 17th year with the Farm Bureau, and this is an event of substance not only for this community, the largest industry in the state, but for Louisiana as a whole.
It is. I mean, this is where we set policy for the coming year. This is also where, we have our election of officers. So this is a very important event. You know, 1,500 farmers and their families all converging in New Orleans.
1,500.
Yep. So, and, we've been around for 102 years now. So I think we've got this pretty much down.
I think so. Well, we're glad you are so hospitable in inviting us to be here with you. It is an important event for our state. And I do want to acknowledge this gentleman I met yesterday, Fred Hankton, who works here, second largest hotel in the city of New Orleans. Fred, how many rooms?
1,340
rooms. 1,340
rooms.
And why is Fred Hankton significant? He has worked here since day one, May 7th, 1973.
That's correct.
And you were 23 when you started. I can do the math. You're 74 now. And look at you. You look like you're ready for another 25 years of doing this.
Not that many.
But how do you handle so many people who sometimes, as we know, when people travel, it brings out the best and the worst in them?
Well, we just try to figure out what they really want and what they really need to do. And we go from there. We try to be real nice to every guest of the hotel.
Yeah, but you're nice, of course, to everybody. And I'm an example of that. He was nice to me and certainly didn't know I hosted a radio show when we talked. But who's the most famous person you have worked with here at your 51 years at 555?
My band captain, Al Williams.
How long's Al been here?
51 years.
51, both of you?
Both of us.
Both of you, from the start?
From the start.
You're from New Orleans, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Well, people who bellyache about this city, they've got another thing coming, don't they?
Well, a lot of them bellyache about it, but when they get here, they see a different story of the city itself.
But how has the city changed since 1973?
Well, it changed tremendous.
The dome wasn't even down here in 1973.
A guy by the name of Copeland helped open up the dome many years ago. Mm-hmm. And before the dome was there, it was a grave site.
Well, I know. But now you can imagine New Orleans without the Superdome. But I can't imagine the Marriott without Fred Hankton, and he's been here since day one.
And Fred Hankton can't be without Marriott either, sir.
73, Richard Nixon was the president, and Edwin Edwards was a governor, and Fred Hankton was right here. But we're glad you're here today. Keep going, my friend. You inspire us.
My pleasure.
And we'll be back Monday. Until then, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Robin Dow in Baton Rouge. Stay safe and stay tuned.